Thank you for joining with us today. We appreciate your presence. We're going to speak on what we Christians have in salvation. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Christianity is not a meaningless, useless ritual, leaving a person empty, doubting, and wondering what is the purpose of it all. Christians have blessings, benefits, fulfillment, satisfaction, strength, hope, rest, assurance, and a love that will not let us go. In salvation, we have the Son. 1 John the 5th chapter, verse 10 says, "He that believeth on the Son of God." Now, believeth means to trust, rely on, or commit oneself to. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. So he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Now, the person who doesn't believe God, doesn't trust God for salvation, hath made him a liar, or hath called God a liar. How did he make God a liar? Or how did he call God a liar? The scripture tells us, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, what is the record? The record is God's Word, the Holy Bible. If we do not believe this book, then we just call God a liar. Verse 11 says, "And this is the record," the Holy Bible, "that God hath given to us eternal life." Oh, we learn that from the Word of God. You see, the Word does not blast us. It blesses us. The Word does not scare us. It assures us. And God hath given to us eternal life. Listen to it. "And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." This is a very clear verse of Scripture. You listen to it. He that hath the Son of God hath spiritual life or eternal life. He that hath not the Son of God does not have spiritual or eternal life. Verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." A name stands for all that a person is. So the name of Jesus stands for all that he is. Why, he is Savior, Sovereign, Servant, Holiness, Righteousness, and the coming King. Now, you believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know. So important to know. Now, this is not only believing something in the head or knowing in the head. While we may not have all the facts in our head, I've been walking this road over 50 years, and I don't know everything. But in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in the Christian. Therefore, there is a Spirit witness within. Now, a spirit witness will always agree with the Word of God. If what you are experiencing does not agree with the Word of God, then it's not of God. You see, we may not always know in the head, but we know in the heart, in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit enlightens our heart. His life may not be in you. You may never have received Christ, but it is extended to you. The life of the Lord Jesus is made available for you. You receive it. John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why is a person condemned already? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That is, a person does not believe Jesus is who he claimed to be. They do not believe that Jesus will or can do what he claimed that he can do and says he will do. Why do people not believe him? Well, John 3:19 tells us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. People love sin. They don't want to believe Jesus. Now, in John, the third chapter, verses 35 through 36, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son, that is, a person who is relying on the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those are very sincere words. And my friend, if you believe the Son, you have everlasting life. If you do not believe the Son, you do not have life. If you have received Christ into your heart, then you have everlasting life. But if you've never received Christ, then you do not have everlasting life. There was a very rich man who had a son whom he loved very, very much. But the son was drafted into the military, and he went to combat. While he was in combat, he was killed. But there was a fellow soldier with him, and the fellow soldier was an artist, very good artist. And he took the boy's picture and drew a portrait of the son, and he took it to the dad and gave it to him. And oh, the father cherished that picture. He hung it in the living room where everyone who came to his home could see it. Well, the father became ill and he died. Afterwards, they were going to have an auction of jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, land, and all kinds of riches that he had, the silverware, the china that was imported. There were just a lot of things to be auctioned. And when the day of the auction came, there was a great crowd of people there. The auction began, and the auctioneer stood up and said, "We will begin with this picture of the son. Here is the son of the man whom he loved. Now we want to ask you to start bidding on the picture. Who will take the picture?" And no one bid. And the auctioneer continued to ask, "Who will take the picture? Will someone bid on the picture?" And no one bid on the picture. And the people became very upset. They said, "Listen, bring out the gold, the silver, the treasures, the antiques. That's what we want." And finally, the caretaker of the property, just to get the auction going, said, "I'll bid on the son." He didn't have any money, just a few dollars. But he bid those few dollars on the son. And the auctioneer said, "It's going once, going twice, going and gone," for whatever the small amount was. And the people said, "Now bring out all the jewels. Bring them out. We want to bid on those." And the auctioneer said in a voice, "The auction is over." There was a stipulation in the will that whoever takes the son takes everything. So that day the caretaker of that property of the man took everything that he had. He took all the riches simply because he took the son. The Bible says that Jesus is my life, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, present tense, eternal life. The very moment that you believe in Jesus, you believe not in him only, but on him, you rely on him to save you, trust in him to save you, you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever Matters not who you are, how sinful you are, or how good you may think you are. Listen, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have at that moment everlasting life. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But whosoever partakes, receives the life of the Lord Jesus, will never thirst, my friend. You will have salvation. You'll know you have salvation. And that well of water will be springing up. It's alive, refreshing, satisfying, springing up into everlasting life. John 6:63, Jesus said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life, spiritual life, unto the world, unto the world of people. In John 6, verses 47 through 48, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, everlasting life. You believe you have everlasting life, eternal life, endless life, resurrected life. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Bread is sustaining, satisfying, strengthening, and that describes the Lord Jesus. In John 10:28, Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life. That is a quality of life that we have. It's eternal. Everlasting is the length of the life. And he says, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why, in John 14:6, a very popular verse, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he said, I am the life. In John 14:20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He is eternal life, and he is in us. Therefore we have eternal life. In John 17, verses 2 and 3, Jesus is praying to his heavenly Father. Notice what he says. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. They might know. That is a knowledge that comes by experience. It is a knowledge that makes us sure. Christianity is not a guess-so, hope-so thing, but that we may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Listen to it. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All the mystery among the Gentiles is that Christ is in you. And my friend, that is wonderful. Jesus is our Savior. He is our life. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Now the death of Jesus took care of our sins. Reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Listen, his life invested in us saves us. And his death took care of our sins. But his resurrected life took care of us. He is my intercessor. He's my life, but he's my intercessor. Listen to Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that judges against you? Who is the one that can sentence you now? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus died, was buried, he resurrected by his own power. He went back to heaven, sit down on the right hand of the Heavenly Father. The scripture says, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. At this very moment, Jesus is seated by the right hand of the Heavenly Father, making intercession for you and me, for every Christian. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. By him is the only way we can come to God. So that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, my friend, listen, Jesus is seated in the heavens to make intercession for us. There neither is there salvation in the other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For Christ is not entered in the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Yes, he is there in person, in the presence of God, appearing there, representing us. 1 John 2:1 says it so clearly. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, if you miss the mark, and you have grieved the Holy Spirit. Listen, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate, an attorney, a go-between, a representative, an intercessor. While we are here worshiping in him, he is there as our advocate making intercession for us. Yes, we Christians have the Son, but we Christians have the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. There is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts. John 14:17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, with you was present tense. In you was a future tense. And at that time, John 14:17, the Holy Spirit did not indwell people. He was with them. But we move to Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 9 through 11, which is after Pentecost. And the scripture says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You see, you contrast what was. He was with you, and now he is in you. That's present, dwelling you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, why, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead, spiritually dead, because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The indwelling Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and works a right way of living in us. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. His indwelling guarantees our resurrection. You cannot keep a saved person down. First Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You have the Holy Spirit of God. This is the work of God, a work that God did in your heart. You see, there's a spirit witness. Spirit touches spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:5. This dear verse says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, how do we examine ourselves? By the Word of God. We read the Word and let it speak to our heart. And what is inside must agree with the Word of God. And then it says, prove your own selves. How do we prove ourselves? By the Word of God. And this says, know ye not your own selves? No. How do we know? By the Word of God. And it says, prove your own selves, know your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Reprobates mean unapproved, a castaway, or rejected. In Galatians 4:19, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. In you. Ephesians 4:6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That great verse, Colossians 1:27, listen to it. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was a great mystery that Gentiles were in Christ. But my friend, in this dispensation, when we're saved, we're in Christ. Christ is in us. And no religion in the world can say the founder of their religion lives in them. Not a one. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Yes, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. We notice in Romans 8th chapter, verses 26 through 27, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, Himself, maketh intercession for us. How does He make intercession? With groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in human language or by the human tongue. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then there's the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Or God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Think about it. Through my weakness, God's strength is shown to be perfect. He is the strength of my life. 1 Peter 5:10, such a great verse. But the God of all grace, this God is all grace. Not all gods have grace. But our God is the God of all grace, who hath called us. Now think about it. He called us. What did he call? He called us to something. First, he calls us to salvation. He calls us to service. One day he will call us home. But now I want you to listen. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He calls us to his eternal glory. Don't you want to be a Christian? He's not only saved us from our sins, save us for heaven, but he has saved us for his glory. And one day we'll be in his glory. And after that you've suffered a while, he'll make you perfect, established, strengthen and settle you. Then there is the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, He will guide us, but guide us into what? The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Psalm 32, verse 8. The psalmist said, the Lord inspired him to write, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Then there is the teaching of the Holy Spirit. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There is the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Listen to 1 John, the second chapter, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught ye, ye shall abide in Him. It teach you all things. We don't need a man to teach us that the Bible is true. The Holy Spirit does that. This verse is not saying that we do not need Bible teachers or preachers or instructors. We need those. But we don't have to have someone to tell us that it's true, because the indwelling Holy Spirit will let you know if what He is teaching or she is teaching is the truth. Then there is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If we do not have spirit control, we will have government control. So let the Spirit of God control you. Now there is the witness of the Holy Spirit. This is very important. We want assurance of our salvation. One way we have assurance is through the witness of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Listen to 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He indwells us. He that believeth not God hath made him or called him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Yes, we have the Son. We have the Spirit, and we have the Scripture. One day the words came to me, what a treasure we have in this blessed book from which we get the new look. It tells of a Savior's undying love and the Holy Spirit who descended from a dove like a graceful, gentle dove. The book is alive, more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword or knife. It is the seed of eternal life. And someone wrote, and I do not know the author, but this is a wonderful thing that he wrote. There is a treasure, rich beyond measure, offered to mortals today. Some folk despise it. Some criticize it. Some would explain it away. Some never read it. Some never heed it. Some say it's long had its day. Some people prize it. He who tries it finds it his comfort and stay. God gave this treasure, rich beyond measure, His Word, we call it today. Now let us believe it, gladly receive it, read it, mark it, and learn to obey it. There are the promises of the Scripture. The promises in the Scripture make us partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, there's some precious promises that by these precious promises, you might be partakers or partners with or shares of the divine nature, which is Christ's life, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is a strong desire. It could be a strong desire for power or wealth or pleasure. But we have the promises, and as we claim the promises, they make us partakers of that divine nature that's invested in us at the point of salvation. It is through the Word of God that we share in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. The Scripture cleanses us. Now you're clean through the Word, which I've spoken unto you, John 15:3, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, this is speaking to saved people, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, we cannot save ourselves, but by the promises we can cleanse ourselves. There is the power of the Scripture. The Scripture are the power of God unto salvation. The Scripture is a powerful agent that the Holy Spirit uses to birth us into the family of God. Listen to James 1:18. Of his own will beget he us. Oh, he planted in eternity past. Now how will he beget us? How will he save us? Notice, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, with the word of God, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And Romans 1:16, Paul wrote, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, Paul, why are you not ashamed? Listen, he was being taken to the very seat of the government of the Roman Empire. Of all the power of the Roman Empire, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the miraculous power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, listen, Paul was anxious to get to Rome, I believe, because he would preach this gospel, knowing that it had the power to convert a sinner, and it would take the sinner from the bar stool to the Sunday school. It would take a person from the dope den to the everlasting friend. It would take a person from a life of greed and give him a Bible to read. Listen, everyone is saved the same way, not through a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. We may not understand it in our heads, but we accept it in our hearts. This is so important. Be sure you get this. Little children come to Christ. And someone said, well, those little children don't know what they're doing. No, they probably don't. Other than they know their heart. They come to Christ. Their heart is open. It's willing. Wants Christ to be their Savior. They come to Christ and God saves them. Yes. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart, not the head, but with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Scripture builds us up in the faith. In other words, the Scripture builds faith in us, and it makes us strong in the faith. The Bible, the Word of God, is the Word of faith. This is where we receive faith is from the Word. Listen to it. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. Acts 20:32. Paul wrote, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. You cannot separate God from his Word. You cannot separate the Word from God. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word of God is grace. And now we're going to see the work of the word. It's able to do two things. which is able to build you up. Oh, it'll build you up. And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Isn't that great? Oh, God gave us a book that works. It works in us. It changes us. And it strengthens us along life's way. All saved people are sanctified positionally. Maybe not practically, but positionally they are sanctified. That is, they're sanctified before God. Now, how are we sanctified positionally? Listen to Hebrews 10:10. By thee which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. When he was hung on the cross, he offered his body. That not only saved us, but it sanctified us. And it sanctified us one time for all time. And Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Yes, one offering perfected us. Be sure you have received Christ. The Scripture will build knowledge and wisdom in our minds. The Scripture will build holiness in our lives. The Scripture will build strength in our souls. The Scripture will build assurance in our hearts. In the kitchen, we have food for the body. In the sanctuary, we have food for the soul. So let us be faithful to the church that preaches the Word of God so that we will be strong spiritually. Now, the Scripture transforms us into the image of Christ. Listen, the Bible is important. It transforms us into the image of Christ. Listen to Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, since we've been saved, the spiritual man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, listen, we have the Son. We have the Spirit. We have the Scripture. And thank God we have an inheritance. Listen to Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, the first thing we receive is the adoption of sons. We're adopted in. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, listen, get it, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, we become an heir. We have an inheritance. Romans 8th chapter, verses 16 through 17, tells it like this. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now that's assurance. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Let's read it again. If children, we're heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with him. Listen, whoever takes a son takes everything, my friend. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verses 10 through 11. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one, or gather together in Christ, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Now listen to it. He's going to gather everything in heaven, everything on earth, in Christ. We are in Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. Though we are heirs of it all, he who takes the Son takes everything. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. We obtained an inheritance. We didn't earn it. Friend, we obtained it. The inheritance is predetermined. It is sure. It is according to his purpose. We are sons. We are heirs. We've been adopted in, and we have an inheritance. Yes, at first, we are adopted. We are adopted in. Then we are an heir. We are an heir of it all because we have an inheritance. Three things in these verses. Adopted, heir, inheritance. It's all right here. My, if you're not saved, be saved today, because this is too good to miss, my friend. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He who takes the son takes everything. In salvation we have the son to save us. In salvation we have the spirit who indwells us, leads us, and guides us. In salvation we have the scripture to instruct us. In salvation we have an inheritance. An inheritance to encourage us. And let me ask you, will you let Jesus save you today? According to the signs of the times, he is coming soon. Allow me to ask a very pointed question, a question that only you can answer. Are you ready to meet the coming Christ? If you're not ready or not sure, I encourage you at this present moment to prepare to meet your Lord. You can prepare by turning to him in repentance and faith, and ask him to come into your heart, forgive your sins, and save you for his glory. Following is a simple prayer to help you repent of your sins and invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Savior. Now, just saying these words will not save you. But if you will yield your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ as you pray and invite him in, he will come into your heart, forgive your sin, and save you for time and eternity. Now let us pray. You pray with me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe Christ died for me and that his precious blood will cleanse me from all my sins. By faith, I now repent of my sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and my Savior, trusting him and him alone for the salvation of my soul. Help me, Lord, to do thy will each day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, I pray that you pray that simple prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Remember, Christians have the Son. They have the Spirit, they have the Scripture, and they have an inheritance. People without Jesus don't have anything to look forward to but to eternal darkness of an awful hell. Don't you go there. Trust Jesus now. God bless you.